This is Human Rights Radio. I'm Jesse Bangu. In the first part of this report, Asia Philbin talked about capital punishment. Now we'll look at some of the factors in particular. For example, on January 20th, the Supreme Court overruled the death penalty given by the state of Virginia in the murder case of Daryl Atkins. The court decided that executions of mentally retarded criminals are unconstitutional, as they are cruel and unusual punishments prohibited by the Eighth Amendment. About 12 years earlier, in Arizona, Jeffrey Walton, who was mentally retarded, was sentenced to death by the state. The United States Supreme Court overruled Arizona's decision, also stating that applying the death sentence to mentally retarded people violates the Eighth Amendment. Arizona State Senator Tom Smith disagrees that mental competence should be an issue in capital cases.
I think if we make too much of the mentally incompetent, it's really going to stretch out the process, because there's no question that everybody is going to plead mental incompetence.
Despite his claim, mental incompetence is rarely used in capital defenses because they are difficult to prove. However, Arizona continues to debate the mental competence issue. For example, at a public forum at the University of Arizona, Pima County Prosecutor David White stated that he is opposed to capital punishment for those who are mentally retarded, but supported the execution of a mentally retarded defendant in a murder trial. Even though the defendant had an IQ below 70, White replied that capital punishment was justified because the defendant, quote, knew what he was doing. Eventually, the Arizona Senate passed a bill, SB 1551, preventing capital punishment for mentally retarded people. Governor Jane Hull signed it into law on April 26, 2001. Only two countries still allow capital punishment for mentally retarded people, Japan and Kyrgyzstan. The United States has halted these executions following the Daryl Atkins decision in Virginia. But what about the constitutionality of mentally competent defendants? In Arizona, the case of Timothy Ring showed that Arizona's practice of death penalty sentencing by a judge violates an individual's constitutional right to a trial by jury. Ring was accused of murdering an armored van driver, John McCotch, in 1994. Ring's jury found him guilty of a felony, but could not decide on whether the murder was premeditated. The judge in the case, Greg Martin, issued the death sentence. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled that Arizona's capital sentencing system violates a defendant's right to a trial by jury as guaranteed by the Sixth Amendment to the Constitution. Attorney General Janet Napolitano is rushing to resolve this issue and make Arizona's system constitutional again. She urged the state legislature to pass SB 1001, which required that death sentences be issued by juries. On August 1st, the Senate passed this bill, but not all state legislators agreed. Representative Gabby Giffords supported an alternative idea that capital punishment in Arizona should be brought to a referendum. Other observers fear that in their haste, the Senate may have created a new and greater source for errors in litigation. A steering committee member of the Coalition of Arizonans to Abolish the Death Penalty, Ann Nichols, explains.
Defense attorneys are going to challenge why they made the decisions that they did. That's going to be a very costly court process. And a dragged-out court process.
The new legislation could even result in fewer executions. Again, Ann Nichols comments.
With a jury, you have to have unanimity. 12 individuals have to decide that the death penalty is the appropriate consequence.
The ruling has also affected Florida, one of the leading capital punishment states. The U.S. Supreme Court supported Florida's decision to stay all executions until at least August 21st this year, when they will hear oral arguments. Incidentally, Florida leads the nation in the number of death row inmates who have been exonerated, according to the Death Penalty Information Center in Washington, D.C. The debate continues on the federal level as well. Senator Russell Feingold and Representative Jesse Jackson Jr. have introduced the National Death Penalty Moratorium Act, known as S-223 and H.R. 1038, which seek a moratorium on federal executions. More importantly, it also establishes a commission which will review fairness and accuracy with the death penalty across the country. Meanwhile, back in Arizona, the Capital Case Commission is wrestling with these problems too. During a meeting in Phoenix, death penalty supporter Justice Stanley Feldman stated that after reviewing the data, the death penalty should be abolished due to its inherent unfairness. The commission narrowly voted to propose to the state legislature that a voter referendum be held to decide the issue of abolition. However, as in any complex situation, there are several arguments both for and against capital punishment. For example, we mentioned earlier that 28 states do not allow execution for crimes committed by juveniles. In many respects, we hold children to a different standard in our society to protect them and rehabilitate if needed, as we feel that they are not yet ready to accept the full responsibility of an adult. We don't allow children to drive, vote, or purchase alcohol, and yet we expect that in this, the most serious of all penalties, we would forget that we have this stance, which in fact is supported by several international instruments. Only 5 countries still execute for crimes committed by juveniles, and only 3 are known to have actually performed them since 1993. Leads all 3 in the number of documented juvenile executions since 1993, with 1 in Yemen, 1 in Iran, and 15 in the US. There may be other undocumented executions in other countries, but human rights observers generally regard juvenile death penalties to be a uniquely American phenomenon. One of the main reasons is that a series of international instruments expressly prohibit executions for crimes committed by a juvenile. The Geneva Convention, the UN International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, the American Convention on Human Rights, the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child, and international safeguards guaranteeing protection of those facing the death penalty expressly prohibit death sentences for a person under 18 years of age when the crime was committed. The U.S. claims exemption to all of these. Senator Smith defends the U.S. position by noting that juvenile criminals are actually more deserving of capital punishment than adults.
Some of these young criminals are really tough, bad people. There's no question in my mind about it. And these old-time inmates don't want to touch him. They said, man, they're mean. They have absolutely no code of ethics or no code of honor. It used to be some of the inmates among themselves had some kind of a code of conduct, but they said, these young guys are mean.
It is worth noting that only 2 countries have not ratified the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child, the U.S. and Somalia. Consider another problem, cost. Many people assume that life imprisonment is expensive and argue that killing criminals would conserve resources that should not be wasted on them. However, the truth is very different. Executing a criminal costs 3 to 6 times more than life imprisonment, depending on the state. In a recent guest editorial in the Arizona Daily Star, criminal law specialist Gregory K. Koikendal suggested that Arizona will not be able to afford the death penalty without raising taxes. He also described an economic benefit to abolition, increased foreign investment from nations who are cautious of Arizona due to their past violations of the Vienna Convention and Geneva Convention. Traditionally, the U.S. has not weighed international opinion very highly in use and application of the death penalty, but other countries may be more concerned, since the U.S. demands international protection for its own citizens in those same countries under these same treaties. We will look at some more issues involved in capital punishment with Asia Philbin in the final part of this report. This is Human Rights Radio. I'm Jesse Bengu.